Well, Yahweh bless you. We're going to do a lesson tonight on Paul's life's lessons. And so Yahweh gives us information that we can learn from people's successes and also learn from their failures. So we're going to go to Hebrews 12 to begin with. And Paul had a lot, you know, of great triumphs and great failures at the same time. Hebrews 12.
Hebrews 12.
Yeah. 5 through 11. And each one of us, if we will submit ourselves to say, Yahweh, correct me, chastise me, discipline me. Is that our prayer each day?
No.
It should be. But you're like, I don't want that. I don't want to be disciplined. But if you get disciplined when you're wrong, you're going to receive a great treasure. And here it is, 5. And ye have quite forgotten the exhortation which indeed with you as with sons doth reason. My son, be not slighting the discipline of Yahweh, neither be fainting when by him thou art reproved. Neither be fainting. You know, and that's, you know, and that's how, what do they call that, drama queen? Oh my God. I got an error in my life. That's all you see. Errors. For whom Yahweh loveth, he does discipline, and scourges every son whom he doth welcome home. For the sake of discipline, persevere, endure, as toward sons, Yahweh beareth himself towards you. For who is the son whom a father does not discipline? If, however, you are without discipline, whereof all have received a share, then are you what?
Master.
Isaiah. Then are you what?
Say the word.
What? Is he on the right page?
Yeah.
What?
He doesn't want to say that word.
Bastards! It's a good word.
It's not a bad word. No.
A bastard is somebody who's an illegitimate. And bitch means a female dog.
Hebrews 12:8.
And ass is an animal. It's not this. You know, so don't let people talk you. I would be bold. God, my Bible cussed right here. Get rid of this translation.
But you're just
furthermore, indeed, the father of our flesh, we used to have as administrators of discipline, and we used to pay deference. Shall we not much rather submit ourselves to the father of our ruachs and live? For they indeed for a few days, according to that which seems good to them, were administering discipline, but he unto that which is profitable with a view to our partaking of his what? Holiness. That's why we want discipline, because I want to be holy, be one separated from the world. But no discipline for the present indeed seems to be joy, right? That's why we don't ask for it. But what? But of sorrow. You know, that's why we avoid it, like the plague. Afterwards, however, to them who thereby have been well trained, it yielded what? The peaceful fruit of righteousness. Wow. Why do I want to be wrong? You know, if I'm, you know, there was on Chrysler products, on the left side of the car, the lug nuts, you had to turn counterclockwise to take them off. No, clockwise.
One's clockwise, yeah.
Yeah, clockwise to take them off. While the other side, you did counterclockwise. And so if you don't know that, you're trying to do it, you know, you're trying to go counterclockwise, yeah, turn off, and you're actually tightening it. And so if somebody says, hey, let me tell you about that. Don't tell me what to do. I don't want any of that reproof. I don't want correction. I want to keep doing it wrong. Thank you very much. And I almost broke them off one time to try to take them off.
Yeah. I broke off Venus.
Yeah. So you're like, why would I want to continue doing something that's hurting me? Because I want to be right, is what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. So, now we go to 1 Timothy 1. But we must ask for it every day. Father, reprove me. Send somebody to me, because generally, I'm not going to receive it myself And that's why I'm erroring at this particular moment anyway. Somebody else is saying it to me in the spirit of meekness. Okay, 1 Timothy 1:12. And here's another illustration before we talk with Paul. Is I believe Paul never met Christ in his ministry. There's no reflection whatsoever that he met him in his ministry. And if he had a 3-year ministry, that means Yahushua would have had to have been in Jerusalem 9 times. Paul would have been there to see him teach, obviously. But since he was only there for 6 months or less, there was only one festival he was at, and that was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which Paul could have missed. That's the only time he was in Jerusalem. And we know if you missed the Passover, you could go do it the next month if you were unclean. So if you're unclean, if you had blood on you, instead of the first month, you did it the second month on the 14th day. So he could have been unclean at that time. And why do I say that? In verse 12, grateful am I unto him that empowered me, Christ Yahushua our Lord, and in that faithful he counted me, putting me into the ministry, though formerly a defamer and persecutor and insulter, and nevertheless mercy, or that probably would be hesed, was shown me, because without knowledge I acted in unbelief. So without knowledge I acted in unbelief. So you have to be able to say that was pardoning. It is what he thought he was doing was righteous. So as we're going to see, it was not that case. So Acts chapter 8, we'll begin with Stephen. Acts chapter 8. Did you get in the paper?
I did.
Yeah. We're going to follow that schedule. And Saul was taking pleasure with him in his death, and that was Stephen's death. Moreover, there arose in that day a great persecution against the assembly which is in Jerusalem. All were scattered abroad throughout the countries of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Howbeit, reverent men assisted at the burial of Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul went on to lay waste the assembly along the houses, going in and dragging off both men and women, was delivering up into prison. This is his beginning. And according to the law, people should have been put to death if they were breaking the Mosaic law. So he thought, by Stephen's death, he was consenting to it, because Stephen had blasphemed Yahweh. One way or another. Because he was following the Mosaic law. Now we go to chapter 26, same book. 26:1 or 26:12. And we know the road is conversion. Chapter 26, verse 12.
Just a minute, please.
Of Acts. Among which things, being on a journey unto Damascus with the authority and commission of the high priest, at midday on the road I saw, O king, so he's giving a testimony, from heaven above the splendor of the sun shining around me. Now, is this going to be a discipline or chastisement?
You're going to go blind.
Did he receive it?
Yeah.
He did receive it. So sometimes we hope we don't have to go to this degree to get our attention. Shine around, but that's that love that Christ had for people. So I'm going to stay with you to this point. Shine around about me, a light around them who were with me were journeying, and when we were all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying unto me in what language?
Hebrew.
It's not Greek. The revelation that came to Paul is Hebrew. It's not Aramaic either. It just says right here, Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why me art thou persecuting? It is hard for thee against goats to be kicking. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And Yahushua said, I am Yahushua, whom thou art persecuting. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for to this end have I appeared unto thee, to appoint thee an attendant and a witness, both of the things as to which thou hast seen me, and of those as to which I will appear unto thee, rescuing thee from among the people and from among the nations unto whom I am sending thee, to open their eyes that they turn from, and this is all of our calling, to open our eyes, to turn them from darkness unto light, and the authority of Satan unto Yahweh, that they may receive remission of sins and inheritance among them who have been made holy by the faith respecting me. You know, what a commission. Now we go back to chapter 9 of Acts. We'll do a lot of work in Acts.
Hold on.
So we get looking at, okay, the lessons. He turned. That was Ananias who came and talked to him. And it was really neat, too. It wasn't somebody important. So Saul is going to become an apostle, but it's all according to his heart whether he's going to become an apostle. He was an apostle then when he was converted. So you think, Peter would come and put his hands on him. No, we're just going to give it Ananias. And you're in Damascus in the first place. But we're going to do this and see how you handle it. And we know Ananias did that. And in verse 22 to 25, somebody want to read that?
But Shaul was the more gaining power and was confounding the youths who dwelt in Damascus, showing by comparison that this is the Mashiach. Now when a considerable number of days were being fulfilled, the Yehudis took counsel together to kill him. But their plot was made known unto Shaul, and they were even narrowly watching the gate both day and night, that they might kill him. But the disciples, taking him by night through the wall, let him down, lowering him in a basket.
Now think of that. And so it wasn't the unbelievers, it's the believers that are trying to kill you. Same today. So instead of just say Jews, just say Christians. And we're going to see that's always where our fight usually comes from, to a great extent. Because even in England, if you did not believe in the Trinity, you could be put to death. And so, and today, right now, if you don't believe in the Trinity, you are, the Mormons are in that category, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and you are really anti-Christ. The same situation today. And it's a Christian with Yahweh, I mean, that Satan has infiltrated to such an extent that they will not use the word Yahweh and they won't use the word Yahushua, which is just astounding on the cowardice of the Christian church. But we see, okay, he turned, and that's the conversion. Now we go into the power. So 1 Corinthians 11, 1. We're going to see something. Okay, we learned about his conversion. When you get reproof, take it. Say, thank you, sir, and move on. And lick your wounds later on. 11:1, Melania, 1 Corinthians 11:1. It's right before 2 Corinthians.
Thank you.
Verse 1.
Become imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ.
Very simply. You tell everybody else. And in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, I speak in tongues more than you all. Right? And I would that you all speak in tongues and interpret, the more that you prophesy. On and on and on and on. So you say, you be imitators of Paul? Yes. Are you speaking tongues? No. Then you're not an imitator of Paul. Yeah, very simply. Well, it's just not that important. Just tear it out. Okay, tear down the Bible. Now we go to Acts 13, back to Acts. And we'll see power demonstrated. So think of it. Elijah has got the same Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach is spirit. Ha, H-A is the, and Kodesh is holy. So holy, and so that's why I'm putting in reverse order. Ruach HaKodesh, or Holy Ruach, or Holy Spirit, we have the same power, the same spirit that Apostle Paul has. So we have to be ready when we're practicing to let that spark fly. You know, if we're not expecting a spark to come out, that power to come out, generally it's not. So each day we check in, and we're going to see it fly from the Apostle Paul in 6 through 12 of chapter 13. You want to read that,
Isaiah?
Did you
say chapter 12 or
chapter 13? Sorry, Acts 13, verse 6 through 12. Could you read that, Isaiah?
Yes. And passing through the whole island as far as Paphos, they found a certain man, a magician, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. The same calling for Barnabas and Saul sought to hear the word of Yahweh. But Elymas, the magician, for so when translated is his name, withstood them, seeking to turn aside the proconsul from the faith. But Saul, who is also Paul, filled with Holy Spirit, looking steadfast at him, said, O full of all
guile
and all recklessness, son of an adversary, enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the straight ways of the Lord? Now therefore, lo, the hands of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun until a fitting time.
Woo-hoo.
And instantly there fell upon him a mist and darkness, and going about, he was seeking such as might lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul, seeing that what had happened, believed, being amazed at the teaching of the Lord.
So look at that, and that's Yikes. The spark flying. So you could be in that realm where all of a sudden Yahweh says, do this. And okay, you have the authority, you have the power, that's Ruach, and if he gives you the authority, let it go. That's the power. Now we go to 13, verse 16. Now go ahead and read that. And we're going to look at... we might not just do that time-wise. But let's see. 13 through 16, he's in Antioch. And verses 48 to 51, he's in Antioch. And he gets... You know, let's just go to 48 to 51. And Paul and Barnabas, speaking boldly, says, whereunto was it necessary that the word of Yahweh should first be spoken, seeing you are entrusting it from you, or thrusting it from you, and unworthy are judging yourselves of the age-abiding life? Lo, we turn unto the nations, for so hath Yahweh commanded us. I have set thee for a light of nations, that thou mayest be for salvation, and of the ends of the earth. And they of the nations hearing this began rejoicing to be glorifying Yahweh, and they believed as many as become disposed for life, age, and body. And the word of the Yahweh went on to be carried through the whole country. But the Jews, just say the Christians, urged on by the devout women of higher class and the chief men of the city, roused up a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and thrust them out from their bounds. But they shake off the dust of their feet against them, and came into Iconium. When you're doing the will of Yahweh, the actual word of Yahweh, many times you're going to have adversity thrown at you from Christians. Not from the unbeliever, but from Christians. And as they were thrown out, they shook the dust off their feet. Here's what the word says. And so they're in Iconium. And they get railroaded out of there too. And let's see on verse 7.
What chapter?
Well, it's the same, 14, I'm sorry, 14, verse 6. Then became aware of it and fled into the cities of Lycaonia, Lystra, and Derbe and the surrounding countries. So they were chased out by the Jews or the Christians in that particular town. And so if your teachings are generally not having this kind of response, man, I mean, it's either they really love it or they hate it. You have a combination of both. It's split. It goes all the way through. Mm-hmm. Now we go to Lystra. That's where the power comes in. In verse 8. And a certain man in Lystra, so you've been thrown out of Antioch, you've been thrown out of Iconium, and now you're in Lystra. And a certain man in Lystra, impotent in his feet, was sitting, lame from his mother's womb, who never had walked. This man hearkened unto Paul as he was speaking, who looking steadfastly at him and seeing he had faith to be made well. How did he know that?
Holy Spirit.
Now watch out. He's not going to touch him either. Not going to lay hands on him. Just said with a loud voice, look at that. Stand up on thy feet erect. Wow. Think of you, that spark flying out, when all of a sudden Yahweh just wants you to say, I just got to have your attention. And if you're zoned in, just do what I say you to do. And don't be afraid. You could be in a grocery store and somebody's in a wheelchair, and Yahweh says, tell them to get out of that wheelchair. Or maybe you go lay their hands on them, or you go do something else. And he sprang up and began to walk about. And the multitude, seeing what Paul had done, lifted up their voice in the speech of Lycaonian, the gods made like unto men have come down unto us. And they went on to, you know, call Barnabas, Jupiter, and Paul, Mercury, seeing that he was the leader of discourse. Now we got, we'll skip in places, go down about 20. But let's go 19. But there came thither from Antioch and Iconium. Somebody's hounding them. You know, remember, the Jews or the Christians, and persuading the multitudes and stoning Paul for having this guy healed. Now think of that. You know, in your same community, the ones that are going to make you a god, and now they're getting stony instead.
Yeah.
They dragged him outside the city, supposing him to be dead. Howbeit the disciples surrounding him, he rose up and entered into the city, and on the morrow he went forth with Barnabas unto Derbe. Now think of that. So I mean, think of his healing to be stoned where they thought you were dead. And I think, okay, the recovery in the hospital might be a month or 2 weeks from the bruises and laceration and broken bones and my fractured skull. You know, because, you know, to kill somebody with stones, you're going to have to come over his head and smash him in the head. You know, that's all there is to it.
Well, and, says that was by divine power.
But, yeah, but all of a sudden, boom. You know, he is, you know, so power is coming from this person who is a defamer.
Yeah.
And what they were going to realize with everybody here is we're all going to have do bad things. We're going to have memories of stuff that we did that we shouldn't have done. And it's really up to us to grab that mind like Paul did, and after I ask for forgiveness, that is ejected. And any time he tries to come back in, I'm going to eject it and replace it. And we'll do that later. It's very important to grab control over your thoughts. And when you have a bad thought, you don't entertain it. You replace it. You say, I cast you out in the name of Mashiach Yahushua. I am forgiven. I am a son of Yahweh or daughter of Yahweh. I have power. And you go on. Because Paul had to do that all his life. You know, the people he put into prison could have died in prison.
Yeah.
And so he could be responsible for deaths. But if he doesn't get rid of that, he is never going to produce what Yahweh wants him to produce. So clean that up. Now, but here is Paul missing guidance. And so now we're going to go on to Paul going to Jerusalem. So the same tenaciousness of him going forward and being stoned and just confronting people can also be a hindrance. And so sometimes you're so headstrong that when Yahweh's telling you to go someplace and you did it and you had a great adversity, and then all of a sudden it's like, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and Yahweh's saying, don't go to Jerusalem. No, I'm going to Jerusalem. Yeah. And I'm not going for my own benefit. I'm going to serve Yahweh. And that can be your own detriment, and that's our lesson from Paul. So we go to chapter 20, verse 16.
Acts
the same book, Acts 20:16. So here is his unsuccessful endeavors. And so we'll learn from that. For Paul had determined to sail past Ephesus, lest he should happen to lose time in Asia, for he hastened, if it was possible for him, against the day of Pentecost to arrive in Jerusalem. So a person can say, you know, I'm on a flight, I'm going to Africa to do a teaching. I've got this everything set up, the plane ticket bought, and Christ or Yahweh says, don't go on that plane. Well, I've already got the ticket bought. I'm going to Africa to serve Yahweh. Don't go on that plane. No, I've already got the ticket bought. You get on that plane and you crash.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to go, no, you've got to be careful. And so we're going to watch Paul, and then Yahweh put this in here. Now we go to 22 to 24. And now, lo, I am bound in my spirit in journeying unto Jerusalem. The things which therein shall befall me, not knowing, save that the Holy Ruach from city to city doth bear me full witness, saying that bonds and tribulation await me. Well, come on, knucklehead.
Yeah.
I mean, but for no cause whatever am I making my life dear to myself, so I may finish my course and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Yahushua to bear full witness as to the good news of the favor of Yahweh. Now he has become bullheaded. And it could be life-threatening. And we've seen a lot of people, we read a lot of books on people, missionaries a long time ago going to Africa and dying of malaria when they get there immediately.
Yeah.
They did no good whatsoever. They're dead. So you were not supposed to go. Whatever your intentions were, you were not led by doing that. So you've got to be very careful on this. 21, verse 4. And finding out the disciples, we remained. Now he's working his ways to Jerusalem. And the whole point is, why do you want to be in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost? Yahweh is not in that temple.
Yeah.
You know, very simple.
Yeah.
And so what you're trying to connect back with Judaism is a mistake. You know, so
it's Galatians, huh?
Yeah, so you're making a big mistake, and with all this, we kind of go back to, you know, the Catholics, and you got the ringing bells and the incense and stuff, and it's very nice, but it's not there. Yahweh's not in that building. But that's where he's going, and finding up the disciples, we remained there 7 days, and they unto Paul began to say through the Ruach that he would gain no footing in Jerusalem.
No footing, wow.
Yeah, right there. No footing in Jerusalem. Let's see here, that was, yeah, 4. Now we go to 9. Now this man had 4 virgins, that was Philip, virgin daughters who used to prophesy, and as we stayed on many days, there came down a certain man from Judea, a prophet. You know, Christ and Yahweh are just throwing a book at him.
Yeah.
So look at this, this is his third or fourth encounter. A prophet by name Agabus, and coming unto him and taking Peter's girdle, he bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ruach, the man who this girdle is shall the Jews thus buy in Jerusalem and deliver up into the hands of Gentiles. And when he heard these things, both we and they of the place began beseeching him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then answering Paul, what are you doing weeping and breaking my heart? For I am not only to be bound, but to die in Jerusalem and ready in behalf of the name of the Lord Yahushua. And as he was not to be persuaded, that's that pig-headedness. Now you've really gotten into him. And it's probably the same thing that kept him in Judaism into the air for so long. You know, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. We see saying, the Lord's will be done. So we quit saying, obey the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Other translations will rearrange this comma. And Rotham does it right. They'll say, as he was not persuaded, we ceased. Comma. Saying, the will of the Lord be done. So they're saying, the will of the Lord is to go to Jerusalem. So they, by changing the comma on that mark, they ended up saying, going to Jerusalem was the will of the Lord.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, don't go, the will of the Lord. And the other translation will do that to keep it into harmony. I'll show you why, because I was saying Paul can't make a mistake like this, which he did. And let's see here, 21:17. I don't know. Oh, yeah. 21, yeah, chapter 21, verse 17. But now, he's going to go to Jerusalem, and he's going to be with the apostles. And they're going to give him counsel. Don't go into the temple. No. They're going to say, here's how you go into the temple. Ay. Now watch. And when we came to Jerusalem, the brethren gladly welcomed us. And on the next day, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders, James is an apostle, elders were present, and saluting them, he went on to narrate one by one each of the things which Yahweh had wrought among the nations through his ministry. And they, having heard, began glorifying Yahweh, and they said to him, thou observest, brother, how many mirrors there are among the Jews who have believed, and all are zealous for the law. Now they have heard it rumored concerning thee that in apostasy art thou teaching from Moses unto all the Jews who are among the nations, telling them not to be circumcising their children, nor by the customs to be walking. What then is it? At all events, they will hear that thou hast come. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to pacify them. And instead of saying, don't go to Jerusalem, the Spirit should have been inside them also, don't go into this building.
So you're saying they missed it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, watch. This then do, which we unto thee we say. So they're going to give them counsel. We're going to see how the counsel worked out. We have four men who have made a vow upon themselves, taking these unto thee, be purified with them, placing the Jews, and spend something upon them that they may shave their heads, and all will get to know that the things which they have heard rumoring concerning thee are nothing. On the contrary, thou thyself dost keep the ranks guarding the law. Well, he doesn't. Because we know in Acts 15, there's no circumcision. We're in Acts 21. And that's a big problem, because with Abraham, it is, if you weren't circumcised, you're out. Mm-hmm. You could not come in the temple. But they're trying to say, you're keeping the law. But concerning them of the nations who have believed, we ourselves set, deciding that they should be guarding themselves both as to idol sacrifice and the blood and what to strangles and fornication. Then Paul, taking unto him the men, on the next day with them, being purified, began entering into the temple. Why are you there in the first place? Yahweh is not there. To declare the filling up of the days of purification and to the offering that had been presented for each one of them. Now remember, Hebrew men went to the temple three times a year, and let's say he's 30 years old, he's been doing this for 20 years or 30 years. Of that ceremony. And the temple's a great place to be. Yeah. When, however, the 7 days were on the point of being concluded, you're just about ready to leave and everything is fine. It all worked out. All those naysayers saying don't go to Jerusalem were wrong. The Jews from Asia, observing him in the temple, began to urge all the multitude and thrust upon their hands, crying out. They got him. Now we go to 24:27, the consequences of his error. And, Elijah, you want to read 27?
Chapter 24?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. When, however, 2 years were completed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and Felix, wishing to gain favor with the Jews, left Paul bound.
How long?
2 years.
2 years.
2 years!
He was bound.
In prison. How's that working out for you? Okay. Now, why people will try to rectify this and say he was supposed to go because Christ is going to appear to him, and that is in 23 verse 11. Let's see. He's in prison, before the 2 years. But on the following night, the Lord, standing over him, said, "Be of good courage, for as thou hast fully borne witness of the things concerning me in Jerusalem, so must thou in Rome also bear witness." So that one verse is going to confuse people, because now it looks like, well, then he's supposed to be there because he's supposed to go to Rome. I believe it's just the opposite, that now you're in this predicament. So here's what we're going to do now. As long as you're in this predicament, we could have had you go to Rome without being in prison for that sake. But now you're going to go to Rome. All right. So now, I think Yahweh makes lemonade out of a lot of times the lemons we give them. So we make a big mistake, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, plan B.
Yeah.
Plan A didn't work out. Now plan B was not my original plan, but we're still going to make lemonade out of what just happened. So this is plan B. And that's where people get mixed up. We go to Galatians 4. And I'm looking for the young people here with all of us. Is what we teach popular?
No.
Do the masses want it?
Nope.
No.
Do Christians want it as a whole?
No.
No, they do not want it as a whole. Some of them do. All right, but you've got to realize that's just the facts. Now, if anybody would tell you that more than anybody else, it would be this guy, the Apostle Paul. Now, he was right on. He didn't miss it. And look what right here in verse 16. "So then your enemy have I become, dealing truthfully with you." Have you ever told somebody the truth and they hate you?
Yeah. Yep.
Was it the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was the truth. Did they like you? No, they hate you.
Yeah.
Now here's Thomas Sowell said this, very important. "If I want to help myself, I tell people what they want to hear. If I want to help them, I tell them the truth."
Yeah.
Very simply. "But if I want to help me, I tell them what they want to hear, and they will love me." Because I say, "You're fabulous. You're doing this. I love you. You're one of my best friends." But a friend will always tell the truth to another friend.
Faithfully.
No matter how painful it is, at the right time. But they must confront them and say this. And that's what Paul's trying to do. And he saw all of Galatians as people going back to circumcision.
Yeah.
And going back to Hebrews and everything else. And the whole book is telling people, wrong track, wrong track, wrong track. And now I become your enemy because I tell you the truth. We go to 2 Timothy 1:15.
So Galatians were going back to
the law, yeah.
The law, kind of like Paul's going back to Pentecost.
Yeah, and we tell people, it's like, you won't speak in tongues? My goodness, that is the witness of the resurrection. Christ gave his life so he could pour out Holy Ruah. Well, I've got spirit, we'll manifest it. Well, no, we can't do that anymore. I don't have the gift. And I'm not going to do it anyway. And so you're like, okay, duly noted. At least I gave it to you. 1 Timothy 1:15. Is that right? Oh, 2 Timothy 1:15. Sorry. Ephesus is in Asia. Galatia is in Asia. These are all Asia Minor. They're right now Constantinople, Turkey. Right now, Ephesus is in Turkey.
Istanbul.
Constantinople, Istanbul. 2 Timothy 1:15. "Thou knowest this, that all they who are in Asia have turned away from me." Wow. That's just how much you've been beaten up there. You've been all sorts of stuff. Iconium and Lystra. Of all the stuff, of whom on our Phygeus and Hermogenes, the Lord grant mercy in the house of Onesiphorus. But all of Asia has turned from me, to the Apostle Paul. A lot of times we think it's our lack of speaking. No, it's really a heart of the people, the stiff-neckedness of it. And we saw that with Moses also. Now we go to chapter 4, same book, 1 through 8, to Timothy, and this is to all of us to carry on. I adjure thee before Yahweh and Christ Yahushua, who is about to be judging the living and dead, both as to his still shining and his kingdom, proclaim the word. Take thy position in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, encourage, with all long suffering and teaching. For there will be a season when the healthful teaching they will not endure. And that's today. It's always been that way. It was in Paul's time, in Galatia. But according to their own covetings will they themselves heap up teachers, because they have an itching ear, and from the truth indeed their ears will turn away, while unto stories they will turn themselves aside. But thou be sober in all things, suffer hardship, do the work of the evangelist, thy ministry completely fulfilled, for I am already now being poured out as a drink offering. So this should be our dying lips of serving Yahweh and Christ. And the season of my release is at hand. The noble contest have I contested. The race have I finished. The faith have I kept. Henceforth lieth by for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord will render unto us in that day, the righteous judge, yet not alone unto me, but unto all them who have loved his foreshining. That should be all of us. As we persevere on, we go upstream and not downstream.
What's forth shining?
I'd have to check, but it's coming. It's probably prosperia. Now, their lie is that Paul, all the apostles died terrible deaths. You know, Peter wanted to be crucified upside down. Somebody else was boiled alive, and on and on. And you're like, baloney. So let's just show this in verse 16, same chapter. It's not part of the subject, but in my first defense, no man came in to help me. Look at that. You want to be standing alone? Yeah, very possibly you stand alone. But all, what? Forsook me. Wow, this is not a party I want to go to.
Yeah.
You know, I want to go where everybody likes me.
Yeah.
They want to be friends of mine. Unto them may not be reckoned, but the Lord stood by me. Look at that. Who was at my party? The Lord, Yahushua, was with me and stood by me and empowered me, in order that through me the proclamation might be fully made and all the nations might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of a lion. The Lord will rescue me from every wicked work. They're going to say he's dying a whore. Here. Watch this. This is, I forget how they said he died. How did the Apostle Paul die?
According to Britannica, Paul's death are unknown, but tradition holds that he was beheaded in Rome and thus died as a martyr for his faith. His death was perhaps part of the executions of Christians ordered by the Roman emperor.
Beheaded. Alright, so you're like, oh, that's a nice way to die.
Yeah.
But he's saying here, Lord will rescue me from every wicked work. Well, that's a lie then. If what the church has said.
And will bring me safe.
And will bring me safe into his heavenly kingdom, and who be the glory unto the age of ages. Amen. Okay. So, when lessons from Paul, finish your course, and we get back to the mind again. And I do that when I have dreams many times. They're bad dreams. They're thoughts I don't want. I don't want to remember these thoughts, but I've done things that have happened, incidents that have happened. So there has to be a purging. And that's Romans 12:1.
Casting down.
You have to say, you have to take the offense. You cannot allow, and very important for young people. I don't think I remember having too much stuff being that young, but older and older, I'm like, what is that doing in my mind?
You've got to replace those thoughts.
Yeah, you got to replace that. Replace Romans 12:1, and they're going to tell us what to do.
Stop.
I'm forgiven. Anything that I've done has been cast away. And I rebuke my mind for even thinking things that come up. I've asked for forgiveness. 12, when I beseech you therefore, brethren, through the raham of Yahweh, to present your bodies a living, holy sacrifice unto Yahweh, acceptable, your rational, divine service. Be not configuring yourself unto this age. Well, that's what the TV set. That's what YouTube. That's what our phones. That's what radio is all meant to do, to configure us unto this time. But be transforming yourselves And this is why you listen to this book, the Word of Promise. Let me transform yourself by the renewing of your mind to the end you may be proving what is the thing willed by Yahweh, the good and acceptable and perfect. Yeah, it's transforming. Let's go to Ephesians 4. We all need a little entertainment, but we got to remember that entertainment, a lot of times with Christian stations, they can just be wicked on what they... Now, they can be good, but they can also... And you have to know when to turn that baby off. I was taking Rachel or Melania to the Y, and they came on there, and wickedness started coming out. Just turn it off.
On a Christian station?
Yeah,
a
Christian station. But everybody's the same. No, nobody's any better than anybody else. We're all sinners. We're all this. We're all this. And I thought, where is the incentive? Where is the person who's planted with the good fruit? Some reap 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. What about sowing equals reaping? Of course there's great people.
He's going to be a rapist.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it really comes down to everybody's a sinner. Everybody's this. Nobody's better. Baloney. You know, there's a whole kingdom chain that we're trying to aspire to, so that completely extinguishes everything to be able to say. And I remember that with the Fleshers. It was that point where all of a sudden, it was really, to them, it was communism. Everybody goes to heaven with the exact same possessions. The exact same positions. Because I don't want somebody to be better than me. Well, you're not doing anything, and you want the rewards that a capitalist
wants.
King
David.
I mean, the same thing. Yeah,
that was the same as King David and Moses.
Yeah, but I don't want to work for it. So no, that breaks the incentive to say, no, I want a lot. And guess what? Christ says, good. You want to be greatest in the kingdom? There is no greatest in the kingdom. You're all losers. It's by the threat of God you're just saved from burning damnation. No, he says, you want to be the greatest? What do you tell him to be?
The least.
Servant of all.
Yeah.
You know, I love David's wife. Remember?
Michael?
Abigail?
Abigail. Abigail. And Nabob was her husband. But he proposed to her, and she says, I'm here to watch the feet of my Lord's servants. Wow, not to watch my Lord's feet, but the servants of my Lord's feet. And you're like, wow, that is really impressive.
That's a servant.
Yeah. And guess what? When you get there, you're exalted right to the top. Because what it says is,
that's a little bit different than
Yahweh against the haughty arrayeth himself, whereas unto the lowly he giveth favor. Be made the third lowly under the hand of Yahweh that he may exalt thee in due time. And so I want a big paycheck, go for it. And here's how you get it. You know, this is the incentive. Now Ephesians 4:22, that you were to strip off as regarding the former behavior, the old man who corrupted himself according to his deceitful covetings, and were to be getting young again in the spirit of your mind, and were to put on the man of new mold, who after Yahweh hath been created in his truthful righteousness and loving kindness, or chesed. Wherefore, stripping off what is false. Then it goes all the way through to tell you what to do. Now we go to Colossians. We'll kind of speak this up. Strip off that old man.
Colossians what?
5. Colossians 3, verse 5. So we got into a new age Christianity, yeah, where unconditional love, we're all the same, nobody's any better than anybody else. Jesus, basically that's it. Here it is, 3:5. Make dead, therefore, your members that are on the earth, as regarding fornication, impurity, passions, base coveting, and greed, the which is idolatry, on account of which things cometh the anger of Yahweh. To me, the anger of Yahweh doesn't exist in this new ageism. It really doesn't. Wherein you also walked at one time when you were living in these things, but now Do you also put them all away, anger, wrath, pettiness, defamation, shameful talk out of your mouth, be not guilty of falsehood one to another, having stripped off the old man together with his practices, and having put on the new, who is being molded afresh under personal knowledge after the image of him that created him? Let's see here. Oh, and look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, with gratitude, raising song with your hearts unto Yahweh. That is our mind. And how do you do that? Well, I've got to pipe it in, guys. Either I'm going to have to read it or I'm going to have to hear it. It doesn't come by TV set, generally. It's not going to come by Facebook and things like that. So I've got to have a period of time where I pipe it in. And so I do that when I take a shower. I've got the Word of Promise going. When I eat breakfast, I've got the Word of Promise going. And so, you know, you can go through, you know, the whole Bible, the whole Word of Yahweh, four times in 1 year. Every book. Four times in 1 year. It's just 72 hours that goes the whole thing. And if you look at it, if I just listen by eating breakfast and taking a shower, that's just an hour a day. All right? I've got 365 of those days. And 70 of them gets me one way through. So 70 times 4 is what? 70 times 4?
280.
Remember, no stupid people allowed in the house. 280.
Is a sign.
Do you see my sign out there?
What did you say about no stupid people?
Yeah, look at my plaque on...
Oh, okay.
At the beginning of the step coming up, I found out it was a sign. He said, "No stupid people beyond this point." So I asked Wanya, "What's the square root of 4?"
2.
Okay, she got it. What is race car spelled backwards?
I guess race car.
It's race car. What is Bob spelled backwards?
Bob.
Okay, got it. Wow. B. Okay, you pass. It's going to be testing. Yeah, spell race car backwards. It's race car. Really interesting thing. I just said, okay, let me just write this out, and you're right. It's race car. Okay, that's it. But forgiveness, Paul took forgiveness. He put on the mind of Christ. He sparked we got Holy Spirit. Let it loose.
Yeah.
Let it loose, and Aaron's really good at that, and Rachel. They'll be in the grocery store, and they'll let it loose. Be ever ready, be looking at that, and praying for somebody. And you guys need to practice that. You know, you try that, and just say, and practice on each other. Isaiah, go pray for Elijah. And it's a prophecy. Mm-hmm. You just don't say a prophecy. Just say, can I pray for you? Mm-hmm. And you can come up to Lala. Say, can I pray for you? You're inspired. She'll probably say what?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Well, Father, I thank you for Lala's life, and all of a sudden the words are going to come. Yeah. Speak those words, and that's no different than the man with, you know, who is lame standing up.
That's what you do.
Because they know that was from Yahweh. Wow, that's utilizing that spirit. So Aaron does that all the time, and so does Rachel. They'll be in line behind somebody.
I need to be careful not to quench the spirit, because I've bubbled up and I'm like, whoa, and I quenched it before.
Yeah, just let it go.
Can
you place them? Yeah, can I pray for you? No, okay. All right, so we'll end now. I think we've got some. We'll hear from our Heavenly Father. We'll always give a prophecy. Well, Father, we thank you for these words. Through Mashiach Yahushua, thank you, Christ, for paying the price for us. That you're ahead, and will be your hands and your feet and your mouth. And my sons and daughters, lean upon me, trust in the words that I've given you, the words I've imparted to you, which are words of life and of generosity and graciousness and kindness. So come to me on bended knees and lay your requests before me, and I will go ahead and listen to those requests, and I will exalt thee, and I will give you the resources you needed to fulfill those requests as you humbly submit to me and do my will. Amen. See you next week.
Amen.